Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Hello and welcome to the podcast of the Lotus Eaters. This is episode 411 on the 9th of June 2022. I'm your host, Harry, joined today by my good colleague, John.
Hello, Lotus Eaters.
And today we're going to be talking about the great SWAT crisis that's going on and hashtag chaircast.
Hashtag.
Oh my goodness. Hashtag hair. Oh my goodness. I can't speak today.
Hashtag works so much better than hashtag. Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying. Phonetically, that's a beautiful.
Let's see if I can get this one right because it's Chinese now. We're also going to be talking about the Xinjiang papers.
Hey.
Did I get that one?
Nice. I think so.
And we're also going to be discussing how democratic rhetoric does, in fact, have consequences, the same kinds of consequences that they would like to put on all of those evil right wingers. Without any further ado, let's get Oh my goodness, we're getting spicy already, aren't we?
Go on, Harry, you can make it.
Oh my goodness, sorry, I've just been... No.
We were talking French before the podcast, that's why I said adieu.
Yeah, that must be why it was. Anyway, let's look at the great SWAT. So those who've been paying attention may know that Tim Pool has had a somewhat unfortunate streak recently, since the beginning of the year, of getting swatted over and over and over again. And it seems that last night it happened yet again. Mm-hmm. This time it was just another case where the police came. Let's just get straight into it and take a look at the clip that Viva Frey shared of the incident happening. Mm.
But the problem is it's the business of medicine that they're incentivized to have people be ill so that they buy their medicine. Like if the fire department was incentivized to put out fires and they got paid more for every fire they put out.
We have to evacuate the building.
You better believe that you'd see a lot more fires. You guys, I love you. I think
we're just going to leave keep the live stream going, but we have to evacuate the building.
All right. We'll be right.
You heard from the
top.
Stream will just stay up as it is.
Please stay tuned.
And
we'll
just
be back.
Please keep watching in case something happens. But we have to evacuate.
Do you have the while we're on break, go to TommyAlvin.com.
We're gonna grab something to drink. We're being told we need to evacuate the building. So keep watching. Keep the stream up. And can you do the wide shot?
Yeah.
All right. Maybe you'll get to watch something happen. I don't know. We have to get out of the building.
Cool.
Now.
Let's go.
That's cool though.
Taylor's
saying this.
That's
Taylor
saying.
Let's go.
Who's Taylor?
Tyler.
Oh,
Howard. Got it. There we go.
Woo!
All right, bye guys.
Nice little setup.
It is a nice little setup, and the camera stayed on that particular shot for the next almost 3 hours at that point. And you can tell just from the reaction of the way that they handle it, the way that they go about it, it's almost business as usual for them at this point because it's happened so often to them where it's just, oh, I guess we've been swatted, guys. The police are here. We need to evacuate the building. Mm-hmm. Okay. And at the time, I think they had a potential politician called Tommy Altman on, who is a conservative candidate for Congress. Mm-hmm. I don't know if him being involved in the show had anything in particular to do with this particular targeting, but I think they are going to be repeating the show later on today with him on again, because obviously only getting an hour of content with him isn't what he was signed up for.
This is something I just don't understand. Like in America, you can just like call the cops, send in an anonymous tip and get someone you don't like, have a SWAT team go to their house, and they will just kick down the door without asking questions, without doing any kind of background research as to, oh, maybe this guy has been like swatted dozens of times. Like there's something really fishy here, don't you think?
I think most Americans don't understand it for the most part either, because it just seems like such an unusual thing to happen that doesn't, as far as I'm aware, happen over here. But when they did eventually come back on, Tim did explain that because it's happened so often, he often receives the complaint of, oh my goodness, how do the police not know by now if it's called into this? But the fact of the matter is, every threat like that, especially in America where you've got open firearm carry and such things, does have to be responded to by the police because, yes, 9 times out of 10 might be just a fake prank call, but at the same time, if you miss that 1 time out of the 10, then you're liable for it.
Yeah, no, I don't buy that argument. I'm sorry. I think that's a safety to ridiculous levels argument. I mean, we saw the police intervention or non-intervention in Uvalde, didn't we?
Yes.
Right. You know, they seem to be much hotter on the trigger when it comes to swatting some random guy on his camera than saving a school full of children.
Tim also lives in Texas, or at least his studio is in Texas as well, which is obviously the same state that Uvalde happened in. So it is very interesting how it's very much a pick and choose what the police will spend their time with. Mm. And I do think, because later on we'll go on to what happened to the quartering as well, I do think the quartering, his house is on a list of do not SWAT if you get calls in, but they still went to him. So I, not being particularly familiar with how the police force in America operates, and it does seem to be very much a state by state and even county by county in those states basis, it seems to be a situation where it will depend entirely on where you are, what the response will be. But Tim did give an update to why it was, and if you move along, it did say potentially credible threat, because you've got to remember the reason that the police will show up is not necessarily just because they say, oh, there's something bad is already happening there. Sometimes they will say someone is going to potentially, you know, go and try and attack Tim Pool at his compound. He does have security there, which is apparently very good security. Mm-hmm. But the police, if they receive those tips, they kind of are obligated to intervene. So yeah, they had specialists on route, and he's keeping details to a minimum for security reasons. I understand that he's done that every single time that this has happened. But one of the most amusing things about this was, while this was all going on, people were in such anticipation as to what was going to happen. If we go along to the next one, Viva Frey pointed out that there were 34,000 people watching an empty studio for almost 3 hours, and that number actually rose as the time went on. Wow. By the end, by the time they came back on, it was almost 40,000 people
watching. Well, clearly everyone wanted to get a look at that lovely set he's built there.
They really did. And he does point out that it was more than were watching the State of Union address and the Oscars. And I think I did see other people pointing out that it was more people than were watching Joe Biden's interview on Jimmy Kimmel, which just goes to show that people would literally rather watch an empty studio than hear what Jimmy Kimmel and Joe Biden have to say to one another. And it is very entertaining, because what was happening at the same time, I don't think you can see it in this little clip, but Jeremy from the quartering was posting super chats, advertising his coffee brand while it was all going on, because he saw,
American capitalism, almost, see an opportunity.
I know, it's brilliant marketing though, isn't it? Mm. Almost 40,000 people watching nothing. Well, it seems they've all got their attention fixed. Let's see if I can take advantage of this. And he was just advertising his coffee brand coffee, and we'll see a little bit of that in a bit. But just to point out once again, this was not the first time that this has happened. This is an article from January of this year, and even in this article from January, it starts off with Tim Pool has been swatted for the second time this month. So twice in the same month, and I think it happened like 3 or 4 times in the same week one time. So respect to Tim at this point, to be honest, for even continuing on the podcast when something like that happens so frequently. Mm-hmm. I do respect
his
work ethic there. And they say this news comes after a series of concerning events around Poole's studio. Poole disclosed that the incident was worse than the last time, didn't give full details because of an ongoing security risk. And obviously, I would imagine the security risk is that somebody obviously knows where his address is, or at least the address of his studio is, because I went online to see if it was just publicly available information. On the website, it's not listed there. They've got a PO box, so it's not supposed to be pointing directly to it. So it's very interesting that there's this ongoing security risk. Someone knows where his address is, and he's even pointed out in a tweet that somebody actively went to his compound and trespassed on the property when they weren't allowed to be there. So it's worrying that somebody has his address and is obviously got malicious intent towards him. People are going nuts in 2022. What the F were we talking about that warranted us trying to get us killed on more than one occasion? Someone called the police and said they shot and killed 2 people and were going to kill more. And police were not told to enter without a warrant, but said they didn't need one due to exigent circumstances. This is a large house used as a production studio with many employees on site. Since the first incident, the police have made no arrests. So whoever's got his address, whoever's been making these anonymous calls, it doesn't seem, if there has been follow-up, it's not been particularly effective follow-up. And then Poole actually mentions here, last night a man trespassed on our property, bypassing a large warning sign, and then entered our house. He entered just after our guests came in, confusing our staff. Anyone entering this way risks serious bodily harm from our dogs and security. He was promptly removed, and I imagine probably there might have been charges put against him. And just to make this clear, it shouldn't need to be made clear, but swatting people, getting the police to show up randomly in a high-risk situation, is very dangerous, because things like this can happen. This was back in 2018. A family of a man who was involved in a death due to swatting was suing the city of Wichita. So just this circumstance was the family of a man fatally shot by SWAT officer, and after a prank phone call has filed a federal civil rights lawsuit against the city of Wichita. Andrew Finch, 28 years old, was shot and killed in December, a victim of what is known as swatting, or the making of a false police report, usually of an urgent or violent crime, with the intention of luring law enforcement or SWAT to an address, responding to a false report of a domestic shooting and hostage situation, allegedly by a man in California. Police arrived and fatally shot Finch after he opened the front door of his family's home. So he just opened the door, bang. There you go. But this sort of stuff only happens to black people, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well. Very, very interesting thing there. But yeah, great police work, guys. He just opens the door, bang. I guess we'll ask questions later. And that's quite telling of what the potential intentions of the person swatting Tim could be. Mm-hmm. It's not just to cause a massive nuisance to Tim's show, because it's this point, it seems that Tim's just used to it. Potentially they're hoping that they'll just go full on raid mode if they call in a serious enough threat, mm-hmm. and people might get killed in the crossfire, which would be a terrible tragedy. But of course, whoever is doing this, and we don't know necessarily if it's one person or many people, given that some rando is just able to walk into his compound, mm-hmm. and he points out it takes about a mile driving off-road to be able to get to his place. So it seems to be quite remote, but the fact that people are able to locate it means that any rando could have his address, and any rando could be the one who is sending these people to do this, which is awful. But as I pointed out, something interesting was going on at the same time as all this, which was the quartering, otherwise known as Jeremy, was memeing the whole thing up, saying, I have obtained a picture of the man believed to have phoned in the credible threat to the Tim Pool compound. And here we have a picture of, I think it was his name, what's his real name? John Goldberg or something like that. His name's Jack Murphy, but who, of course, was the legendary cook. The legendary Christmas cook, as you could call him. And here's some images of the quartering sending in the super chats saying, look, I think we can all agree this has been a very stressful situation. Ancient Mayans have said that organic teas from my brand of coffee are an excellent way to relax, while it's reported that Native Americans preferred their coffee blends and cocoa. Code Timcast. So he even had a discount with Timcast going on. So, you know, respect to the man for
I do respect that, but I have to take points away for capitalizing every single word in that advertisement.
That's true, but, you know, Americans have a bit of a loud presence and attitude, don't they?
So.
Even just in text. Mm-hmm. But he's pointing out, I can't stop and I won't stop. And once again, respect to him for trying to do this, but it seems that Jeremy himself also had some negative repercussions as a result of this, which was that a SWAT team went after him as well, which is great. Which is great. So whoever was phoning in the report on Tim seems to have been keeping an eye on it and decided that when he saw that the quartering was also trying to have some fun, make a little bit of light of this, mm-hmm. decided, you know what, you've got to, it's your turn now as well. So he says, SWAT team just left my house. Someone texted them that I murdered my wife with a high-powered rifle and was going to kill myself. They deployed the SWAT team for an anonymous text. They all knew it was a SWAT too. Hilarious. And then just because everybody was like, are you joking? Is this, I know you've been memeing it, but is this a joke? He just puts 100% dead serious. Although sadly, there were supposedly no body cams worn by the police on the scene, although he does have some photographic evidence of what happened, and mm-hmm. he does say that I think he's also got some audio recordings of what happened as well. So hopefully Jeremy will be able to shed a bit more light on what happened and provide some evidence to it. But he carries on saying, I supposedly murdered my wife. The cops were sitting in my driveway when the dispatch called me. My effing wife answered the phone. That should have been a telltale sign right there, shouldn't it? They should have stood down at that moment, not handcuffed me and make me lie down in the wet grass and scare the S out of my wife. And just scroll down. I think there might be some responses to this as well, where he carries on. Again, this is all for an anonymous text message. And if we carry on again, he does point out to the next tab, Michael. Thank you. He points out, we are 100% fine. The cops were cool after they realised I wasn't a murderer, but they crossed a few lines, especially continuing to cuff my wife, who was supposed to be the victim of the murder in the first place. We all had a good laugh, and I have updated their do not SWAT list of people. Although I think, maybe I misread it. I thought that he said he was already on it. Yeah. So it's quite upset. It's quite worrying that the SWAT teams have to have a do not SWAT list of people because it's such a common occurrence in America right now. And it's also worrying to me that they decided, despite the fact that it was supposed to be something to protect his wife in the first place, seeing as she'd already been murdered, that they go, wife answers the phone. Oh, she must be involved in it as well. Let's cuff her. What's going on?
Yeah, there's a severe logic failure there, isn't there?
The murder victim
answers the phone. It's like, quick, guys, it's worse than we thought. They're playing necromancy as well. As
oh, my goodness. This must be some kind of satanic ritual, yes. And this is where he points out that there's no body cams as well in the next tweet over. So he said, no body cams on my video, so it will be weak. But he does point out that thankfully the entire internet won't be able to see his hairy... something or other spread out on his lawn. So there is something to be taken from. And to be fair, in all of this, I do respect that Jeremy seems to have taken this
in very good humor.
Yes, very good humor in the best spirits possible. Because I tell you, if I had been swatted in such a way purely for trying to jokily advertise my coffee on Tim Pool's podcast, I would not be tweeting this jovially.
Yeah.
I would not be making this joke, especially if my wife had been, I don't know if you could say assaulted in the legal sense, but certainly physically assaulted, I would say, for being cuffed. And this is where he posts as well the actual photograph, so you can see that this did happen. You can see a number of the police officers there. He says this is only a fraction of the response. A bunch of police officers searching his place, searching his garage. So we do know that this is something that has happened. It wasn't just Jeremy going even further with the meme.
And I bet they didn't exactly pack everything up tidily when they left either.
Oh, of course not. Of course not. Interfering in your day-to-day life is part of what the police are supposed to do, apparently.
So.
But, once again, just to show his jovial spirit, Jeremy just kept going with the memes. Good news is I do have a delicious organic chamomile tea to calm my nerves. The hustle don't stop, you know? I can't knock the hustle. And then Jeremy also just points out the obvious, which is obvious. This must have been the same people who were doing this. I assume they were mad about all the super chats, which, seeing as Jeremy has been labeled an evil right-wing content creator, supposedly for this person who's done this, presumably justifies it in their mind. And he also just points out as well, when somebody's like, okay, so why hasn't this been resolved? He just, in the next tweet over, Lilith Lovett says, that's ridiculous, I hope they catch a swatter. They won't. And that's just the sad reality of it. As much as he has memed this into something that is turned into something quite amusing, and as much as Tim Pool and the such seem very used to this happening in the first place, he just has to point out the sad fact of the matter is that whoever's doing this won't get caught. They've been getting away with it for months, so you've got to assume that nobody is investigating, whether the police have an investigation or not. And I would assume at this point they would probably have enough evidence, judging by the targets, where the phone calls are coming from, the fact that this person has access not only to Tim Pool's address, but also the Quartering's personal home address, which is very strange to be able to have access to, that you would hope that the police would be able to do something about this. But they haven't. So that's all I've got for that one. The great SWAT is happening, and expect to see more of this again. And for the love of God, if this does happen, try your best to remain calm and not get shot by the police, as difficult as that can be.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of the police, we're now about to move to another country in the world which has problems with its police of a rather more serious nature. Obviously not saying there's any, not trying to make light of swatting. I think it's a horrible phenomenon.
Yeah, of course.
But it's not as horrible as concentration camps. I'm going out on a limb here.
Pretty high up there.
Right. And that's precisely what we're going to be talking about today. There's been a recent release of files at the end of May on the concentration camps and detention facilities dotted throughout Xinjiang province in China. And there's so much information. It's just a load of stuff. So let's get right into it. The documents that have been leaked contain over 2,800 images of detainees, 300,000 personal records of people who have been detained, 23,000 detainee records, and a dozen police instruction and training manuals. It's a huge amount of material, and the sheer volume of material makes it hard to say, oh, this is faked. You know, if you get one or two photos out, or 10 or 20 or 100 or 200, you can say, oh, yeah, it's fake.
Well, it's the same thing with the Hunter Biden laptop thing, where it's like, I imagine within this will probably be a lot of stuff that is less relevant or less sensationalized or less... or just less interesting. And it's like, well, if you're going to fake this, you would probably just try and make it so that it's just the juicy stuff gets leaked.
Yeah.
Whereas the fact that there will be a lot of redundancy in there makes it very likely that this is all leaked.
Yeah, like the amount of man hours that would go into creating this much material of any kind is ridiculous. This is a huge operation, and it's a state security operation to detain hundreds of thousands, if not over a million Uyghurs in these camps. If we move on slightly. So from 2017, the Chinese government detained over 1 million Uyghurs in Xinjiang in so-called vocational centers. Previously, witnesses and leaked state documents outlined the securitized nature of these re-education facilities, quote unquote. Now, the Xinjiang police files, a major cache of classified files from internal Chinese police networks, provides an unprecedented inside view. The files include thousands of images of detained Uyghurs, along with candid speeches by leading officials. They show leaders' impassioned demands to treat persons from ethnic groups like dangerous criminals, and to readily open fire to stop escapees. And one of the units which has put this project and this website together, if we have a quick look, is these guys, Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation. I'm glad someone remembers, because it ain't been taught in schools.
Yeah, it certainly is not.
Well, it is, but not as a compulsory module, not in the same way that...
No, of course not. When I was in school, I wasn't learning about the Great Famine in China or anything like that, because I think China in particular are the ones with the highest body count, as far as I'm aware, when it comes to this, because you had the famine and the
Cultural Revolution
and other such things, which I think estimates are up to like 50 million people or something.
No, that's absolutely true. But following the death of Mao and the takeover of Deng Xiaoping, there was a feeling in the West that China was liberalizing, wasn't there? It opened itself up to Western capital.
I mean, I've seen some books alleging that Deng Xiaoping was a neoliberal of some form, which I find amusing, to say the least, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, they did also have the Tiananmen Square massacre in what, 1989?
Under Xiaoping, it was 89.
Was it 89? Same year as the fall of the Berlin Wall? I thought it was in the 90s.
No, it was in 1989, I believe. Okay. It was when the student protests were coming about, so because the students had noticed that there was a lack of democracy in this supposedly pure democratic state.
You're absolutely right.
Yes,
sorry,
and decided that what they wanted to do was protest in Tiananmen Square, right outside of, I think it's the Forbidden City, to make their voices heard. And of course, this pure, beautiful democratic state decided to silence the voices of the majority for good.
Yeah, absolutely. And that crackdown happened on the 4th of June, which is a controversial number in China to write, text, message,
I think you still find the officials denying that it ever happened and was the 4th of June? Nothing
many,
happened.
For example, Chinese exchange students just were totally unaware when they came to this country that this was even a thing. And so their immediate response, as they've been trained into, is often to say, oh, well, if a foreigner's saying it, it must be lies. Intended to smear China.
I know that you've come into personal contact and close encounters with a lot of Chinese exchange students as part of your university. Is that a personal experience that you've had bringing that sort of thing up?
Well, I mean, it's not like I sit down in the canteen with a Chinese
so colleague. So what about that Tiananmen Square?
Yeah, exactly. But occasionally, very occasionally, it has come up, and the reactions are quite startling usually. But one of the really good things about this leak is that we have just tons and tons of files. So just keep scrolling down. There's 2,884 photos.
And these are all detainees?
Well, yeah. These are all people. These are their photos taken as they're being detained. And it's really quite striking. It goes on and on and on. There's people of all age groups. There's people as young as... the youngest I saw was 18, and this was in 2018. Because that's when these photos are from.
I know that the Xinjiang province is one of the largest in China. It's absolutely huge. Was The reason for all of this detaining of the Uyghurs, is this purely as a attempt to stamp out the cultural, the culture that they have there?
Well, this is the thing. The Chinese government claims that it's because, well, what they claim is that this is happening because the Chinese are being threatened by Islamic terrorism and so on and so forth, because the Xinjiang Uyghur minority are ethnically Muslim. And there have been some terrorist incidents, although there is some debate as to what extent they were staged and to what extent.
That's the thing. When it's something that happens over here in the West, even though we do have a sort of thick layer of propaganda that everything's coated in, I do find it more easy to believe, just because of the fact that we do have access to social media and other sort of decentralized aspects of communication to verify these things. When everything, as it is in China, is purely taken from the state by the state, it's very difficult to tell what's actually going on.
No, absolutely. And certainly, even if there's a small amount of separatism and extremism, imprisoning over 1 million people to deal with the problem is alarming by anyone's measure. But if we look, I've pulled out 5 slides. So this is Ehramjan Turgun. In 2018, he was 32 years old. He was undergoing re-education in this internment camp. We know where he was, and the reasons given, it's slightly garbled, but he listened to and watched illegal media, Tayblik. In April 1998, when he was 12 years old, he complained to his grandfather.
Oh.
Right. I'll read that again. In April 1998, when he was 12 years old, he complained to his grandfather. That's listed under the reasons
that's
for internment.
That's one of the list. Oh my goodness! I mean, this honestly does remind me when I was reading through the Cultural Revolution, and some of the documents that they unearthed were saying that people had been arrested and sent to camps for something as simple as likes freedom. Literally, that was one of the things that was listed. And now it's gone all the way to complain to his grandfather.
We go to the next one. Again, 22 in 2018, re-educated in an industrial park, which implies he's being used for slave labor in a way, if that's the name of it, though I can't say for sure. Reason for internment, illegal study of economics.
Oh. Well, I'd be screwed then, wouldn't I?
Well, exactly. I read this profile. I thought, this is probably Uyghur Harry.
Yeah, potentially.
You got a license for that there, study of economics?
Yeah, you got a license for that Rothbard book right there.
Yeah.
Man, economy, and state. That should just be state, and more state. Thank you very much.
If we go to the next one. Güzel Nur Aziz, 24 in 2018. Reason for internment, tuned in to watch illegal media.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. We go to the next one. Elijan Mehmetimin, 31 in 2018. Reason for internment, the classic, picking quarrels and provoking trouble. Have you heard of this particular sentence in China?
I have not, but I can only imagine it means asking questions.
Well, it's a very flexible and useful charge that the Chinese police use, and basically means stirring up trouble, disrupting social harmony, being critical or negative, or just annoying a policeman, right? It's a very broad thing, and this is the one that Chinese dissidents often get caught up on, even if they can't find anything concrete. This is a really safe one to get people on.
Oh, of course. I mean, anytime you introduce a law that is as grey and vague as picking quarrels and provoking trouble, that also sentence length 10 years, I don't even know if that's the upper limits of what you can get sentenced for this, that has a potentially unlimited sentencing to it, that is something that is purely put in place by the state to give them a reason to arrest and detain whoever they want, whenever they want.
Yeah, because absolutely.
At the end of the day, any of us on any particular day could be guilty of picking quarrels.
Absolutely, but you could say this is just the Chinese translation of causing great offence.
Oh, exactly.
You know, the Chinese sort of slightly less sophisticated version of hate crime. Obviously, it's a very different thing, it's a different context, used in a different way. But that's why I get concerned about stuff like Section 127 and these things where people are banging on about hate crimes and causing offence and so on, because it's so vague that you can see it going down this road.
Well, this sort of thing is why I despise the idea that the whole slippery slope concept is a fallacy, because some people refer to it as a fallacy, purely because Section 127 is the first step on the path to these kinds of laws. I mean, it is this kind of law, mm-hmm. just not policed as strictly as the Chinese are doing. It's the same reason why I'm terrified of things such as central bank digital currencies.
Yeah, and you should be too.
And yes, you should be. the Rishi Sunak's looking to introduce, because I see that purely as being the stepping stone on a pretty big stepping stone as well to our own version of a social credit system.
No, absolutely. We go to the next one. So this is Zulpieh Mahmoud, 19 in 2018. And again, in the industrial park, reason for internment, autonomous region integrated push. So that, reading the Chinese characters there, I think what that's saying, I don't speak Chinese, I speak Japanese, is that essentially she was part of a group that was in favor of separatism.
Well, do you know the interesting thing? These sorts of states always do all of this sort of stuff purely in the name of democracy, don't they? It's, it's something like the Democratic State of North Korea, Democratic People's Party of China and such like that. When you actually go back and look at what the founding fathers of a great democratic state like the United States, for instance, believed, was they believed that part of democracy was the right to secede from a government if you believe that it was not serving the interests of the people, which supposedly should be its stated, the reason it's there. When you go this far, when you instill the government with the authority of the general will, all of a sudden secession, all that means is that you are against the will of the people. That means that you are against what we want.
No, absolutely. And so these rules for internment, reasons for internment, might seem slightly random. We'll get onto why that is a little bit later. But just before that, I want to show you an even rarer thing than these leaks, which is some actual journalism by the BBC.
What?
I know. This is actually a really good bit of work that they've done, where they've put together a visualization of what's been going on down there. And they just have some lines to lay out the authenticity of the document. These images can be verified. So this is a camp from satellite imagery. By being shown to contain real people identified as the missing relatives of a number of overseas Uyghurs approached by the BBC. The BBC has also been able to verify the spreadsheets containing the photographs, ID numbers, and cell phones for camp police officers. Although security personnel in Xinjiang are known to be under orders not to answer calls from overseas, after dialing the numbers listed for more than 150 police officers and government officials, several picked up and confirmed their names, roles, and respective offices. So they literally went phonejacker on the Chinese camp guards. And the idiots actually picked up, which is hilarious. There's a transcript here, which I'm just going to read out. Hello, is that police officer name? Yeah, what's up? Are you the police officer who works at the Toksak Township Police Station? Yeah, who are you? May I ask, have you worked at the Shufa Industrial Park Vocational Skills Education and Training Centres? Who are you? I would like to verify a piece of information with you. What do you want to verify? Who are you? I am the person who is calling you. What the expletive do you want to verify? And he hangs up. Now, I feel like the BBC could have been a lot cleverer with this.
Well, I mean, you can only... I mean, the fact that they've got this article out in the first place is impressive enough. I know, you can't expect them to be too competent.
This is great. The fact they called up the numbers, fabulous. But they could have gone full phone jacker on this. I'm sure they were calling in Chinese and they had the right thing. They could have routed the call through Chinese numbers so it wouldn't tip anyone off it was going through. They could have pretended to be someone who is believable. They could essentially have gone full social hacking.
They could have gone all the way through with it and seen how much information that they could get.
Yeah, I mean, they just wanted to prove a point, which is this is a real person, and they did that. Fine, great, but the potential here. Now I imagine it's too late because they will be on high alert for suspicious phone calls.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Chinese government have noticed that this article has been released in the first place. So they're going to be very alert.
They are somewhat in damage control mode. I haven't bothered wasting your time with the denials from Chinese officials and diplomats because what's the point? We know they're lying through their teeth. But if we just have a look at this next slide here. So this is a map of confirmed camp locations by satellite. That's a lot of locations.
Camps.
Obviously, you notice there's that big basin there, which is more or less a desert, I believe. So even though Xinjiang is a very large province, a lot of it is not particularly hospitable.
Wouldn't imagine so.
So China's narrative on all of this is that the Uyghurs in Xinjiang are Islamic terrorists. They use this allegation to justify what amounts to an ethnic cleansing program in the region, replacing the native Uyghur population with Han Chinese. China claims that the inmates are trainees or even sometimes volunteers, attending vocational courses and acquiring professional skills and legal knowledge so that they can live on their own profession. And, like, from what we've seen of the details, these courses consist of being forced to chant propaganda slogans while you've got your hands handcuffed behind your back and you're forced into a kneeling position with everyone else. That's not education. It's not even brainwashing or propaganda. It's just torture. While nobody is alleging that there are gas chambers in these concentration camps, because people often make synonymous concentration camps and death camps, the systematic long-term incarceration of millions of people certainly qualifies as a cultural genocide. To use the quote, acts and measures undertaken to destroy nations or ethnic groups' culture through spiritual, national, and cultural destruction. You could also call this ethnocide. From the UNESCO definition, ethnocide means that an ethnic group is denied the right to enjoy, develop, and transmit its own culture and its own language, whether collectively or individually. This involves an extreme form of massive violation of human rights, Exhibit A, and in particular, the right of ethnic groups to respect for their cultural identity.
And this is not something that is unique to China among communist states to do this. Mm-hmm. Before they committed the Holodomor, this was the sort of thing that Stalin's Russia and even Lenin's Russia was doing to Ukraine, where I think it was Russification.
Yes.
Was the process that they were trying to put it through, where they took down all of the Ukrainian signs, replaced them with Russian signs. All poetry and art had to be in Russian rather than Ukrainian.
They actually flip-flopped quite interestingly on that, because to start with, that was more like Imperial Russia's idea, that it wanted to Russify the provinces. When the Bolsheviks took over, initially for a period, they accentuated and emphasized the local culture like this, because they thought it would help to break down the national identity of the Imperial Russian state. But then, of course, once they consolidated their power a bit, they did exactly as you said, went back to Russification, turned up to 11.
Yeah, I think what they probably must have realized that was, by allowing the Ukrainians to indulge in their own culture, it created feelings of separatism within the Ukrainian provinces, and therefore they had to stamp that out any way they could.
So we have BuzzFeed have also been reporting reasonably well on this, and at the top here they have satellite imagery of a camp. If we just scroll through, and you can just see how it's developing. And they reckon that this camp holds 10,000 people.
So for those just listening rather than watching, the slides are showing the gradual development of the camp as it was being set out just as a plot of land, and then the actual buildings being built on it. And it looks like quite a large facility as well.
Yeah. Now, I say long-term. Obviously, long-term architecture in China is a humorous thing, but let's not get sidetracked. The recent leaks are not the first to emerge from China's prison camps, and a significant amount of information leaked in 2019 gives us a fuller picture of what's going on. So let's quote from this article. Exposed: China's operating manuals for mass internment and arrest by algorithm.
Arrest by algorithm?
Arrest by algorithm. So you know I was saying before how the charges seem to be a little bit random.
They seem to be plucked out of thin air almost,
yes. Well, this starts to reveal why.
So they're just chosen by an algorithm. Wonderful.
Yeah. I quote, a new leak of highly classified Chinese government documents has uncovered the operations manual for running the mass detention camps in Xinjiang and exposed the mechanics of the region's Orwellian system of mass surveillance and predictive policing.
Full Minority Report here.
I'll say that again. Mass surveillance and predictive policing. The leak also features previously undisclosed intelligence briefings that reveal, in the government's own words, how Chinese police are guided by a massive data collection and analysis system that uses artificial intelligence to select entire categories of Xinjiang residents for detention.
So this is truly just a systemic method of rounding them each up one by one. I don't think anybody who is a part of this, who is a resident of this province, by the way that you're describing this, is going to be innocent in any sort of legal sense as part of the Chinese.
It's starting to sound a bit like the computer from V for Vendetta that we did that podcast.
It really is about. Actually, isn't it?
What was the name of it?
I've forgotten. You did it with Carl.
I did, yeah. But no, it's really quite spooky. The manual, called a telegram, instructs camp personnel on such matters as how to prevent escapes, how to maintain total secrecy about the camp's existence, methods of forced indoctrination, how to control disease outbreaks, and when to let detainees see relatives or even use the toilet. The document, dating to 2017, lays bare a behaviour modification points system to mete out punishments and rewards to inmates. So there's like an internal prison camp social credit system that they run.
So you, even right. when you've already been detained, you still cannot escape the social credit system.
No, absolutely Wonderful. Not. This is full on like behavioural control, behavioural science stuff. It's really freaky.
And this is social engineering taken to its logical endpoint.
Yes, and it's terrifying, and you should be concerned about it. The China cables reveal how the system is able to amass vast amounts of intimate personal data through warrantless manual searches, facial recognition cameras, and other means to identify candidates for detention, flagging for investigation hundreds of thousands merely for using certain popular mobile phone apps. And there's actually a leaked drone clip that we're just going to play on mute here, so you can see what this actually looks like in practice. That's a load of people, by the looks of it, being loaded onto a train, or there's lines of police escorting prisoners who are huddled and chained together, handcuffed.
Massive chain, lots of large groups of people all being rounded up.
It's a large operation, isn't it? For a relatively rural province.
Yes, I mean,
and look at that.
And
they're all forced to wear these clothes and blazers, and they're kneeling down, they're handcuffed.
People say it's an economic system, communism, socialism, whatever you want to call it, is very, very inefficient. And for a lot of things it is, but they're always fantastically efficient at rounding up the enemy, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is what government by algorithm looks like in China. It's really quite spooky.
Like, I think we've made it all very clear here that for the most part, you know, I don't think anybody in the office is a particularly massive fan of Islam, but that does not excuse this kind of inhumane treatment that these people are being put through. I mean, for the most part, with a culture like whatever the Xinjiang province has, if they are if they leave everybody else alone, mm-hmm. you leave them alone. That's well, my
the thing which I also find staggering is the silence of the Islamic world on this issue.
That is a good point, actually.
Right? The Islamic world gets very jumped up about, for example, protests involving what's being shown on British cinema screens. And yet on this, it's crickets.
I can only imagine it's because they know that unlike our, let's be honest, weak-willed Western states filled with jelly-legged bureaucrats, mm-hmm. The Chinese state would stamp down hard if anything, if any repercussions came to them as a result of this.
Yes, but it's also because, quite frankly, a lot of these Muslim states want to do business with China.
Oh, that's fair.
So there we go. So China has called these files fake as an attempt to just smear China. A number of CCP propagandists, particularly foreigners paid to be agents of Chinese state media, have come out of the woodwork to claim this is all fake and the Uyghurs are happily dancing away in Xinjiang province. I don't think you can dance very well with handcuffs and a blindfold. However, the amount of verification that has gone into analysing these papers, as I said before, from media and academic institutions across the world rather puts the authenticity beyond a doubt. The evidence all lines up, from leak files to phone calls to satellite images to geolocation and metadata. And we're just going to play a clip here that Serpent Today has put together. So he used to live in China, and he's a good authority on a lot of the rise of authoritarianism under Xi Jinping's regime. He speaks Chinese and so on. So there's just a short clip we're going to play. As it runs through, flicking through some of the training manuals and what they look like, the different PowerPoint tools.
So that's just presumably showing how to handcuff somebody properly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All the incredibly guidance. Militarized police force they've got over there.
Yeah.
How to restrain someone.
Exactly. A lot of guns as well, surprisingly.
Not for the population, though.
No.
Never for the population.
No, so that was just a quick look at what these briefings look like. That's what's happening in Xinjiang, pretty much. It sucks. If you're worried about China invading Taiwan, though, that's probably not going to happen. We have an article from Rory talking about why that's massively trumped up. But yeah, it's bad times for Xinjiang, as it has been for the last 5 years, maybe 7 years, maybe 8 years. No one seems to care. You know, got other things to do, got tweets to send, Instagram pictures to upload. But yeah, that's what's happening in 2022.
Yes, China living up to its reputation, as always. All right, let's move on to democratic rhetoric does in fact have consequences. And no, CNN, no, MSNBC, this time you are not able to blame any of what's happened on Tucker Carlson. I know, that's your number one tactic, isn't it? But no, this time, you've got to admit, it's kind of your fault, in a sense. Before I go any further, just want to promote this recent premium video that Carl and Callum did talking about legacy media catching dementia, and it is quite relevant to this because, obviously, one of the big things that's been going around recently is mass shootings motivated by supposed right-wing rhetoric talking points, talking about, oh, the white people will be a minority by this year, where Channel 4 and other such news platforms have forgotten that they've been the ones pushing this the whole time, and the right-wing legacy media has just been reacting to it and pointing out, well, you are trying to replace us, you've said as much, here's all of the evidence, but they like to just brush that aside whenever any of the negative consequences of their rhetoric comes back to bite them. And yet again, here we have another example of that same thing happening, except this time it wasn't some right-wing loony who's trying to cause some damage. It was, in fact, an avowed leftist. So let's take a look, though. So somebody has tried to murder Brett Kavanaugh, one of the Supreme Court justices, who is one of the, I think, five or six conservative members sat on the Supreme Court in preparation for potential loosening of gun restrictions and and as a response as well to the leaked document saying about they were thinking about overturning the Roe v. Wade abortion case, which mandated it so that federal law in every state meant that they have to allow abortion and states only have the right to determine at what point the cutoff is for when they stop allowing abortion. So, for instance, in Texas, I think at the moment it's 6 or 8 weeks, whereas in some states like Hawaii and Alaska, for instance, you can just get one right up until they're about to be born, which is murder, which just is murder, you know? People can quibble about when it's still in development really early on in the fetal stage. I mean, personally, at this point, I've been radicalized to the point where it's like, I wouldn't allow it at any stage at this point, personally. Once again, the slippery slope is real. Give these people an inch, they will take a mile, and then they will transition your kid if they can't abort it first. So let's take a look here. A California man is facing a charge, no surprise that it's Californian, is facing a charge of attempted
murder.
You'd
always want it to be Florida man, wouldn't you?
You just, would, just to but fill Florida head, man like, is far too based to do something like
indeed,
this.
Yep.
Facing a charge of attempted murder after his arrest near the home of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Nicholas John Roski, 26, had planned to murder a Supreme Court justice and was armed with a pistol and a tactical knife, which is what court documents have said. He was taken into custody at about 1 a.m. local time, I think that was yesterday, and protection for the justices has been beefed up ahead of a landmark ruling on U.S. abortion rights. And rightfully so, I would say, because this sort of landmark ruling is the sort of thing that has got leftists in a massive tizzy to the point that they are willing to just go out and stab you and shoot you in some cases. So I think it's absolutely right that they should be beefing up the security. And
it's the media, isn't it? It's the media that stirs people up, and people get so agitated about it that they end up going out with weapons to ruin their lives.
People think that if they don't have the right to kill their baby before it's even born, that means that you don't have the right to control your own body. Whereas there's some conservative commentators like Matt Walsh, who I agree with on this subject, have said, I'm sorry, it's not your body anymore. It's not just your body when you've got a life form developing in it. That DNA is now a unique sequence of DNA that is forming into a human being. Therefore, you kind of have to apply the same rights that the rest of us outside get to it. And that means you can't just go around murdering them because I don't feel like it, or, oh, I can't afford it, or I didn't know that this was what would happen if I had unprotected sex. That's what sex is for, dumbass. Mr. Roski was spotted by two US deputy marshals while getting out of a taxi in front of a Supreme Court justice's home. Carrying a suitcase and backpack, he walked down the street, and soon after, local emergency services took a call from a man who identified himself as Mr. Roski. He said he was having suicidal thoughts, he had a gun, and had come from California to kill a specific United States Supreme Court justice. They then went to the Kavanaugh's home and arrested him. So it's only because this guy seems to have had a brief moment of lucidity.
And he turned himself in.
So thank goodness that did happen, but obviously I think he is still going to be pressed for the attempt to for attempted murder or conspiracy to murder or something along those lines. Kavanaugh and his family were at home at the time of the arrest, so if he had decided to go through with it, it wouldn't have just been Brett himself, it probably would have been his family, his wife and whatever children that he had also caught in the crossfire. But it's no real surprise to me that baby killers are willing to kill to maintain their rights to kill babies. Once again, repealing this has been said many, many times, but just in case we do have some poxy leftists watching this episode, watching this video, revoking Roe v. Wade does not mean that you will never be able to get an abortion ever again if you feel like it. It will just mean that the states themselves will have the right to determine it themselves. So in fact, it's actually far more constitutional and far more in keeping with the legacy and ideology that the United States was founded on to repeal a federal ruling and allow it to be made by the states. The whole point of the Constitution was supposed to be anything not expressly permitted by the federal government to the state was something they were not allowed to do and should be left in the independent states' hands. Mm-hmm. Whereas since maybe the early 1900s, the progressive era, it's actually flipped on its head and turned into anything the Constitution doesn't explicitly say you can't do, well, we can just go ahead with it and
that's
do whatever.
Yeah.
While in custody, he said he was upset about the leaked Supreme Court document on abortion, as well as the recent mass shooting in Uvalde, Texas, according to the affidavit. He said he believed Kavanaugh might issue rulings that would loosen gun control regulations.
So he was sold the canard that the problem with Uvalde is the fact that guns were legal.
Legal in the first place.
Rather than the fact that that's actually happened, the police just stood outside for ages.
Didn't just stand outside for ages, actively detained
set up a
parents,
preventing parents
who were trying to go in and save their own kids. Parents who might have had guns on them themselves, perhaps, who if they had been able to get in, might have been able to stop the killer before he was able to cause any more harm. But this is all hypotheticals, of course, because we live in what actually happened, not what could have happened. In May, a leaked draft decision from the top court in the US suggested it would overturn Roe v. Wade, and last month a group of about 100 people marched from the home of Justice Kavanaugh to Chief Justice John Roberts' home nearby. Both justices are conservative and seen as potentially supportive of curtailing abortion rights. I don't see anything saying anywhere in any theory outside of leftist weirdo theory that you have a right to abortion. Once again, it is a life form that is developing within you. That life form has the right to, same right to life that the rest of us have, as far as I'm considered. And it's very interesting that you see online leftist commentators like Vorsch and Hassan constantly talking about excusing anything done by the left as being preemptive self-defense. Oh, yeah. They would see this as preemptive self-defense because don't you understand that if you don't allow women to abort their children, you're killing women. You're repealing women's rights. And this is, as far as I'm concerned, this is repressive tolerance in action. Yeah. This is the future that... who wrote Repressive Tolerance? I've forgotten his name all of a sudden. Mark Husser. Yes, the Herbert Mark Husser wanted, and this is what it leads to. He says as well, if we go to the next article, that he found Brett Kavanaugh's address online, is what the feds have said. He told the police that he began thinking about how to give his life purpose and decided that he would kill the Supreme Court justice after finding the justice's Montgomery County address on the internet. Photos of Kavanaugh's house were widely shared by the media after pro-choice activists staged demonstrations outside of his and other conservative justices' homes to protest the leaked draft opinion. So this was, in a sense, irresponsible reporting by journalists by making it very obvious and very clear where it is that he lives. Shortly after Politico reported the leaked draft opinion, the pro-abortion group Ruth Centers posted a map on their website showing the apparent addresses of the six conservative justices on the bench: John Roberts, Samuel Alito, Neil Gorsuch, Amy Coney Barrett, Clarence Thomas, and Brett Kavanaugh himself. Archives of the website posted to the Wayback Machine show. They did take it off They did remove that content, but the group then wrote on Twitter on Wednesday it wasn't to blame for Roski's alleged plan and said they were committed to non-violence. And the thing is, I can understand if they posted those addresses purely for the sake of go there and protest, go there and do a non-violent protest. But you need to acknowledge...
Even then, a peaceful protesting outside of the house of a Supreme Court justice, isn't that an attempt to manipulate the democratic process?
We'll get to that in a moment. There is that involved in it as well. But I can understand that they may have posted it without the intention for someone to go there and try and murder someone. But you've got to understand, when you're posting stuff to the internet, there is a certain responsibility you need to take with that. Fundamentalists, they carry on, will talk non-stop about how our peaceful protests inspire this, rather than the daily mass murders in America. So they're just throwing out some ad homs. Only fundamentalists think this. And some whataboutisms, which is that what about all of the other mass murder that goes on in America? We can't be held responsible if someone on our side does it purely because of our rhetoric and because we leaked their addresses. We had nothing to do with this, guys. It's only because guns exist. That's the only reason. Please, Daddy Government, step on me. Take away my guns. I don't want to be able to defend myself.
Yeah, the whole sort of anti-gun rights, leftist, anti-fire activism campaign, I just don't understand.
Well, it's a fundamental, I think, what you would expect from the left, which is it's a fundamental attack on property rights themselves, because the right to own a gun is the right to be able to have your own property.
Yeah.
And honestly, most other rights derive from property rights to begin with.
Yeah, but I think Antifa would be a lot more toothless if it didn't have any weapons.
That's true. That's true, but obviously you can't expect logical consistency.
Of course, no. What am I doing?
From left-wing ideology. I mean, come on. And it even came out that it turns out that the White House did not help themselves because they said, we've not seen any violence. We don't see anything bad coming about here. And they stressed it does not support violence and vandalism at churches and conservative organizations as demonstrations continued. And Jen Psaki added, we know the passion. We understand the passion. We understand the concern. But what the president's position is that it should be peaceful. The protests should be peaceful. This article from Fox News then goes on to say that according to federal US Code 1507, any individual who pickets or parades with the intent of interfering with, obstructing, or impeding the administration of justice, or with the intent of influencing any judge, juror, witness, or court officer near a US court, or near a building or residence occupied or used by such judge, juror, witness, or court officer, will be fined or imprisoned not more than 1 year or both.
Unless they're a leftist, presumably.
Unless they're a leftist. And the thing is, I can see actual issues that people might take with a law like this, because you could say that it basically allows the government to do what they want without having to face repercussions from the public.
Yes.
But at the same time here...
Judiciary.
Yeah, from the judiciary. But at the same time, it is just an example of how these laws are administered asymmetrically.
But you could argue that this is actually a greater assault on America's democracy than the Capitol Hill protests.
Absolutely, you could. That was, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm not condoning anything that happened on there, that was more of an expression of frustration with the system as it is at the moment. And in fact, I could see in my head Thomas Jefferson, for instance, cheering them all along at the time, if he'd still been around, going, yes, this is what we intended.
Well, the thing is, I think it's very hard to apply specific viewpoints or specific objectives to the Capitol Hill protests.
It was such a mishmash of people going in there for their own personal reasons.
These guys seem to have a very clear political agenda, which actually makes them much closer to being terrorists if they engage in political violence and intimidation based on those political objectives.
The left has never been known to engage in political violence or intimidation, John. I don't know what you're on about. Meanwhile, outside the nation's capital, an arsonist threw at least one Molotov cocktail into an office of Wisconsin Family Action, a pro-life activist group. The police are investigating the incident as arson and connected it to the aftermath from the leaked draft opinion. Once again, we still don't know who it is who leaked this draft opinion, who could, to a certain extent, be held responsible for all of this, because they are obviously the one who went against the system, leaked this in the first place, but nothing's happened. I don't see anything. Do you know who leaked the draft opinion? Because I don't, even though that should be the number one priority for trying to maintain some kind of standards and some kind of
Oh, it would be really good to know that, wouldn't it? But I'm sure the FBI's got other things to do.
Oh, they've got
like leaking documents, for example. But who knows?
Maybe they might be, you know, I don't know, indoctrinating mentally ill loners online, for instance. But Glenn Greenwald has also commented about this, saying it's vital that we know which cable hosts he likes and which magazines he reads, so we know who radicalized him and is to blame for this. Kind of a little bit jokey, but also quite true to a certain extent. Jack Posobiec has pointed out that there are a number of Democrats or Democrat sympathizers curating their tweets. He puts, "Hi, Simon Gwynn, why did you delete this?" Simon Gwynn, interesting real-life trolley problem in America right now. If you had a chance to kill Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito, who we definitely didn't leak the addresses of, the two oldest right-wing Supreme Court judges, should you do it while Biden can get his nominees to replace them confirmed? Would this not be a threat of violence to a person of color? Good old Clarence Thomas, but of course we don't apply the same standards. It's interesting as an abstract question, but becomes a real conundrum if, say, you're terminally ill and have little to lose yourself, but know that it could save many women's lives in the future. Now, this
is that not advocating violence?
That is an actual advocation of violence. He has deleted this, but I imagine he's only really deleted this as this has happened, and that Twitter didn't have to step in to do it first because Jack was able to get a hold of the screenshot, wasn't he? Very, very interesting that he's literally trying to push some mentally ill, terminally ill person who has little to lose to go out and commit violence. Not a good look. Not a good look at all. We've also got morons like professional idiot Billie Eilish becoming a propagandist. This article is just about her mentioning Johnny Depp and Amber Heard in a song, but the actual lyric that she sang, according to the article, performing at the Manchester's AO Arena on Tuesday night, the hitmaker sang, "The internet's got gone wild watching movie stars on trial while they're overturning Roe v. Wade." Because she too is not a fan of the current thing. She knows what the current thing is and she stands against it because that's evil. It's taking away women's rights. But this is all to say, of course, that the usual suspects have grouped around what is the popular thing to be annoyed about nowadays to let everyone know how evil it is that states will have the right to make their own decisions on abortion laws, presumably under the guidance of their own population as well and what they prefer. People have also pointed out, Marjorie Taylor Greene, that the left always unleashes violence, and here's a clip of Chuck Schumer, I believe, saying something that's quite incendiary. Let's play this clip.
"They're taking away fundamental rights. I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions."
I don't mean to laugh. It's just amusing hearing an old man like that trying his best to sound forceful. To add some context, that speech was from March 2020, but it was focused around the discussion of whether Kavanaugh and those would like to repeal Roe v. Wade. And to be fair, Schumer has since said that it didn't come out how I wanted.
Well, it didn't come out how you wanted because he's actually messed up the proverb. The proverb is, "He who sows the wind will reap the whirlwind."
Oh, okay.
And unleashing the whirlwind isn't quite the
right. I didn't know that he was trying to reference a proverb. But, of course, what we all know is that "it didn't come out how I wanted" is just politician talk for "made me look bad." Like I say, it was in reference to abortion rights, though. So it's certainly, this rhetoric has been around for a long time with the Democrats.
Yeah.
Whenever anyone conservative gets any amount of power in politics, the Democrats immediately start banging on the Roe v. Wade drum. That's what they do. And they try and make the idea that it's the slippery slope from Roe v. Wade to just repealing women's rights altogether. Oh, soon women won't be able to get the right to vote. Joke's on you. I think 99% of people shouldn't have the right to vote. How about that? And if we move along, like I said, the White House had been explicitly endorsing the protests. The quote from here is, Ted Cruz pointed out that Biden White House encouraged a federal crime. It's illegal to protest and picket outside the home. So, you know, you've got politicians within the American political sphere pointing this out, but the White House is just a authority unto itself.
Are they immune to legal action for this kind of statement? Advocating violence.
I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was one of those we have investigated ourselves and found ourselves innocent of all charges. But the thing is, I will say that I do not necessarily put all of the blame on the people saying all of this stuff. The blame falls, as somebody who believes in free speech, the blame falls on the person who did this. There are thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people who heard all of this stuff and all of this rhetoric and did not go out
yeah.
and kill anybody mm-hmm. or attempt to kill anybody. But that's the same logic that I would apply to, for instance, people's gun rights. Yes, one person went out and killed a few people with a gun, but there are millions of people every day who don't do that, who do own guns. So you need to try and be a bit consistent with this. However, I will say that these people have all been very, very irresponsible
yeah.
with their rhetoric, whether I can put the personal blame on them.
In using their own language, they would say this kind of rhetoric is stochastic terrorism.
Well, yes, of course they would. But of course, they're not applying their standards to themselves. I do think, once, like you've hinted there, it's interesting that this is all coming from the side that says that saying a trans woman is not a biological woman is violence that could potentially kill them. So it's very interesting how these sorts of standards don't apply on both sides. Just to finish it off, people have been calling for more security. Mitch McConnell has called on Democrats to pass Supreme Court security bill after a man arrested outside of Brett Kavanaugh's home. I think that might have already, I don't know if a bill has passed, but obviously they have beefed up security, and rightfully so, seeing as there are threats to these people's lives. And then someone just repeating the thing that maybe the internal parts of the US system should be doing in the first place, which is maybe we should track down the Supreme Court leaker who put Brett Kavanaugh's life at risk, but we all know that that's not going to happen. Look forward to seeing another non-event, just like all of those people that Ghislaine Maxwell was not trafficking to, for instance. So that's how great the system is right now. Nothing corrupt, nothing to see here. Don't you worry about it and go back to sleep. Anyway, with that, let's move on to the video comments.
Hello, gentlemen. I kind of let an opportunity of a lifetime slip through my fingers on the second interview, nonetheless, and Kipling's If was ringing through my head. If you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same. I just kind of wanted to say thank you to John for introducing me to the poem. It really helped me through this little silly period of my life. Thank you very much, man. I appreciate it a lot.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Armin. And yeah, I'm glad that the poem helped a bit. If is a great poem by Rudyard Kipling. Very stoical.
I need to actually check out some of your poetry reading, just because I imagine poetry read in your voice would sound magnificent. Not to big you up too much, but yes, check those videos out. Criminally underappreciated.
My ego is already straining the ceiling tiles.
Oh, that's so. All right. That makes two of us.
Two things Dad's done to the bus include a USB charger built into the cabinet, a TV with an electric mount that raises and lowers it. He put the door on top of the sliding cupboard there. He's got a cabinet that he's building over top of the table, and these are the doors for it. And yeah, I mean, what kind of motorhome gives you this kind of view?
That's awesome. If there's one thing I do really like about American culture, it's the massive RV motorhomes. Mm-hmm. Because when you go around in England, I understand we don't really have the roads for it or the landscape for it, but you get these tiny little rubbish camper vans that are basically just caravans that nobody likes. And then you see what they've got in America. It's just like a roving...
It's like a mobile home.
Yeah, it's a mobile home, and it looks awesome.
Mm. Oh, it looks fabulous. Good on you.
Progressives gotta demonize hard work, because otherwise they have no excuse and they're just lazy. Also gives them justification for wanting to tear the place down. NYMechWorks.com.
Yeah, you've got a good point there. Also, that still looks awesome, and you obviously must have put a lot of hard work into putting that all together and actually making sure that it works with the points mm-hmm. of articulation. I do respect all the work that you put in there, and thanks for showing it to us. But you're right, I think Josh and I have a premium podcast coming out within the next few weeks at least, where we're examining how the left doesn't understand economics, and the first good maybe two-thirds of that are just looking at Reddit posts from leftists complaining about work. And the problem is that, congratulations, you've figured out the number one rule of economics as far as the Austrians are concerned, which is people prefer leisure to work. Big shock, big discovery. It's the fact that they also put it, try and implement policies that they see as, removing the need for that hard work. Oh, we can just do this and all of a sudden we'll be living in a land of abundance, of honey and plenty, or meat and plenty, or whatever the phrase is. And that's never how it works. It always ends up with millions of people starving, shockingly enough, because it turns out to maintain a society, you need to put in the hard work.
So I'm actually in downtown Cleveland today instead of at work. And the reason I'm here is because I got summoned for jury duty. Ooh. So the way this works is about a couple hundred potential jurors sit in a lounge room all day. And when one of the judges needs a panel of jurors for a trial, they'll come and they'll pull about 20 of us and then take us to be questioned and interviewed to decide who's going to be on the jury. And then, yeah, if you get summoned, do your civic duty.
I did jury duty, and it was nowhere near as intensive as that. It wasn't like 100 people. I can't remember how many spares there were, but not that many. The whole thing lasted a week. It was a very interesting insight into the court system.
I bet it is. Part of me kind of wants to get called in for it, but at the same time, I don't, because my mum's done it and said that it was just horrendously boring. Like, most of the time, you're going to be sitting in on some court that's got nothing interesting going on. Unless you're the one there for, you happen to get called in for like the O.J. Simpson trial or Rittenhouse or something, it's going to be boring.
But we actually had quite a humorous and entertaining case, which I won't talk about on camera because I think that'd be bad.
You're not supposed to, but, are you? But interesting. But
a friend of mine ended up at the Old Bailey doing one there, lasted for months.
Oh, really?
Not a super famous one like O.J. Simpson, but still well known. It was in the national papers and everything.
Oh, fair play.
I know you guys are on the whole train of taxation and stuff. I work for my local tax collector. I do believe that some taxes are necessary because of, you know, working in society together. But I had to deal with someone recently who was upset, called us Nazis, commies, told us to go F ourselves, etc. because the government never gets back any of the money that it takes. But it's like, you talk about using Medi-Cal and disability and all these other government-funded programs. It's like, where do you think the money comes from? Why do you think your taxes are so high, especially in California? You have all these programs that you take advantage of, but it's not like the money comes from nowhere. You have to pay it in some means or another.
Yeah. I mean, she's making the point that there are people out there who are like, Oh, I want free stuff and I also want no taxes. It's like, that's not how that works.
Yes. I mean, personally, I've fallen on the idea of all taxation as theft.
Yes, I agree.
Personally, because, I mean, what do you do if you don't pay the tax? You get arrested or violence against you in some way. I think that people should be able to opt in to pay taxes, and only if you are able to opt in and pay into that system should you get the benefits that come from it. But people who, like you say, want free stuff, don't want to pay into it.
Well, it's like when people hear, oh, the government's giving us all a rebate of this amount of money. It's like, no, they're not. The government is forcing you to take out a loan without your realizing it, because they're going to get that money from somewhere, and where they're getting that from ultimately is you.
Yeah, if they're not printing new money to make it, which is just a stealth form of tax in the first place, they are basically just giving you back money that was already your property to begin with. So I don't think it's a particularly good thing in the first place.
James Gleick outlines how simple yet non-linear equations can produce unpredictable behavior that is extremely sensitive to initial conditions. The book tells of how mathematicians used brute force calculation and computing to discover new underlying structures. What emerged had fractal dimensions and a self-replicating nature that could be analyzed if not predicted. The line between the orderly rigor of pure mathematics and the gradual refinement of physics is blurred. The most beautiful creation, arguably, is the Mandelbrot set and its chaotic boundaries.
Is that all right? Was the audio all right?
Yeah, it keeps cutting out. There's probably
mine's not being amazing today. So sorry if we don't...
A couple of times, I thought.
Yeah. Sorry if we can't hear some of the stuff in some of these videos. But
that's really good. The Mandelbrot set as well is fabulous. It's the introductory fractal, if you want to get
into. Alex has been posting quite a few videos discussing fractals. And while a lot of it does fly over my head, I do find the whole thing very, very interesting. I should probably give some of those books a read just to expand my own understanding and knowledge.
This will be the last Mowgli Membe video, but I had a question for Carl regarding how he introduces his children to older movies. Do kids in his experience like spot the difference of special effects from like old 70s movies to present day movies? Because I was wondering if they can't actually enjoy movies that are old anymore. Because I remember I was talking to some kids I was chaperoning way back when, and they're like, I like the new Family Guy seasons because the graphics are better. Do we watch those kind of shows for graphics, though?
I mean, anybody watching Family Guy or any of those modern animation shows for the animation in the first place is doing it wrong because the animation is uniformly terrible. Same with, as much as I can enjoy some of the earlier Rick and Morty, the animation is awful in that show for the most part. I really hate that rigid flash animation style. It's just completely lifeless to me.
I agree.
But obviously neither of us can speak for how Carl introduces kids to stuff. All I can go by is my own memory as a child. And I'll just say, I used to be able to happily sit there and watch Transformers Beast Wars without thinking there was anything wrong with the animation. In fact, I thought the animation was incredible. Maybe that was just a product of my time. Did you ever watch Beast Wars? I'll just say it was a television show entirely done in late 90s cheap CGI.
Sounds good.
So the animation was less than stellar. But if a kid like me can put up with that, then I think most kids will be able to not necessarily have to pay attention to the difference in special effects and such. What they're probably going to be more paying attention to is pacing, because older films tended to be much more slower paced and much more methodical with the way that they paced it, whereas most modern films nowadays, especially if you're talking like the Marvel garbage,
there's kind of this neurotic fear among the direction that if they let you alone for a full second, you'll lose interest and wander off. So they're constantly throwing things at you.
It's not even just that, just in the micro ways that they do it, like the cuts per second or cuts per minute, for instance. Like if you watch any Michael Bay film post 2000, there's like a cut at least every 2 seconds, which can make it very nauseating to watch.
Well, this is my main contention with K-pop, actually.
Oh, really?
Yes. One of the big problems of K-pop, from my opinion, is that they cut relentlessly and aggressively, and it just ends up making you feel slightly nauseated.
What, cut in what way? In the music videos or the music
itself?
Yeah,
in the music videos, because K-pop is fundamentally a video format rather than an audio format.
Oh, okay. See, my main contention is just the music's bad. But let's move on, shall we?
So I don't know why, but among all the weird grooming stuff, what seems to come up like most frequently is this bizarre desire to like get young children involved with drag queens. You have these teachers getting like in trouble for bringing drag queens in a class, numerous things of drag queen story hour, the drag show in Texas, child drag queens. Like, why is this the recurring thing?
Why indeed?
Yeah, why indeed? If I were to try and steel man the argument...
All right, let's hear it, Harry Nonsunter.
Right, okay. If I was to try and steel man the... If I put put myself in the mind of the nonce, okay? Right, the best I can come up with is drag queens have been marginalized in the past, and don't correct me on that, I'm a leftist, I don't want to hear it, okay? They've been marginalized in the past, and we want people to accept them in the future. Therefore, if we get the kids to accept them, we've already got an inbuilt generation that accepts them. I don't think that that's the truth. I think they're a bunch of nonces trying to sexualize your children. But if I had to steel man the argument, that's the best I could do.
After the village full of psychics and mediums fell apart, in 1914 they built Sunny Rest on the same spot. This was the first tuberculosis sanatorium in the country, and this is the front gate, which is still there today. Then they built a county prison farm in 1939, which is also still standing. And in the mid-50s, they built Veterans Haven, which was for homeless veterans. And the urban legends say that at night, the veterans come out and fight to the death.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
Imagine stumbling across that. And near where I lived, up in Haslington, there was a hill called Slaughter Hill, where supposedly there'd been some big massacre take place there in like the 14 or 1500s. And supposedly on certain dark moonless nights, you could still hear the screaming. Oh, I do love that sort of touch of local culture with that.
Right, Tony D, Little Joan, get on it. Slaughter Hill, Cheshire, is it?
Cheshire and Haslington, yes. what's your view on ghosts? You're a bit esoteric sometimes. I think I'm interested in your views.
I haven't really put much thought to it, really. I do have a take, but I think it's more of an animist take than a spiritualist take. So we'll have to save that for
another time. Okay, we'll need to save that for a direct video.
Yeah, probably. Save it for Halloween. Let's go to the next one.
essentially the butt monkey of the Primarchs. Everything I ever see of Fulgrim is him being insulted, mocked, or physically beaten up. He's a preening jackass who only ever cares about his aesthetic. In one of the books, one of his brothers gets fed up with him and decides to make an in-universe Warhammer model disappear. Ta-da! Despite this treatment, he's probably the most accomplished duelist of the Primarchs, having two confirmed Primarch kills under his belt, one notwithstanding. Modern day 40k, he's currently a snake demon. Probably gonna get a model soon.
Cool. Nice little edit there, by the way. That was quite amusing.
Oh, C.S. Cooper's in the house.
Just sharing a thought. These guys are old, and they're on the home stretch. In a couple of years, they'll be gone, and they'll have left their empires in the hands of less competent people. Think about Oliver Cromwell and his son. So let's just take solace in the fact we don't have to put up with them for too long.
Yeah, but then that's true. But then you realise that the next generation of old
evil people
is Tony Blair, who's only what, like 69 years old.
No,
yeah.
I mean, to be fair, saying that George Soros is on the way out is like pushing it, because he's been on the way out for a long time. I wouldn't be surprised if he's going to end up an evil alternative world Mr. House figure where he ends up just preserving his life forever. We can just only hope not.
Injecting the blood of virgins or something like that.
Oh, we already know they already do that. I mean, come on, they've been researching that. How old is Tony Blair?
He will
only be like in his late 60s. He's 69.
But spring chicken compared to Joe Biden and even Donald Trump.
Yes, that is true. And also, I do wonder to myself, do you want somebody who's evil and competent, like competent enough to at least stay under wraps and like do it in a surreptitious way? Or do you want someone who's evil and incompetent who might just blow up the whole system by accident?
It depends. There's so many variables. Let's get to the next one.
You're the woke.
I am the woke. Woke, woke, woke. I am woke too.
I think that was footage from a recent documentary by the Daily Wire. So, very interesting stuff, very interesting.
Fabulous. It's come to that point again, with the racing coming to an end on Friday, that people in the papers are yet again calling for the TT to be stopped. The EU attempt this and, here we still are. More people have died climbing Mount Everest, yet that still goes ahead. And people are still dying in motorsports all around the world. So, sod off, get off our backs. We're quite happy the way we are.
Exactly. Good point. Yeah. Sod off, indeed.
I know. It is nice to see some places where people accept that safe health and safety is not the winner argument that defeats all arguments.
If you bubble wrap all of life from cradle till grave, there is nothing to get excited about.
And with that, let's go to the written comments.
Yes, General Haiping, Chinese Internet Battalion, says, "Oh, the irony, the left utilizing the police force they want to see defunded and abolished as their own private enforcers. They do that every single time. As long as the police and the state in general are enforcing leftist ideas, then they're perfectly fine to go ahead with it." Justin B. Tim said previously that he specifically asked the police to respond to every swatting attempt just in case someone is trying to get them to not bother attending so they can do something serious.
Right.
That's a fair point. Okay. That is good to know, actually, because that is a good point that they could like desensitize, just stop responding and then something bad happens. Hmm. You're right. Maureen Peters, "An invasion of your personal home and life can be used to utilize control. This is veiled intimidation." I wouldn't even call it veiled. This is pure intimidation, which is accepted by the media because they are public figures. But it is a sort of stalking which can and will escalate. I think one of the most worrying things is the fact that they were able to get the addresses in the first place, because that makes me think that none of us are safe, to be perfectly honest. Bald Eagle 1787 says, "The continuous swatting of people that speak out against the narrative is why the American police are a joke. You'd think the FBI would be able to handle this. Oh wait, they're too busy harassing and arresting parents, speaking their minds to school boards, and grooming homegrown terrorists to justify their continued pointless existence. And their budgets, don't forget."
Yeah.
"I'm calling it, the US will fall apart after the midterms, since the system won't be able to fortify it for the desired outcome, and the temper tantrum will reach max levels."
Bold prediction.
Bold prediction, but people have been saying national divorce for a while. And As long as it can happen without a civil war, but then again, the federal government, especially under someone like Biden, will absolutely go to war.
Wonder if we'll see Trudeau's stormtroopers in the US.
I know, that's very, very interesting. I've not got around to reading it yet, but I have seen a number of commenters reporting on, you know, whether or not it was done for altruistic purposes. Lincoln starting the Civil War destroyed the original promise that the US was built on, because it was built on a voluntary union, and all of a sudden less than voluntary. Yeah. And ever since then, any sort of threat of anything like that, you know it's going to be met with violence. Mm-hmm. So, interesting point, and I'll see about getting around to reading books that expand on that. Free Will says, if anyone still harbors any illusions about the tyranny the hard left would impose if they got real power, they must be living on the moon. Mm-hmm. Yes, and Callum Dayton also says, calling in SWAT for pranks and harassment like this needs to have a serious punishment to it. SWAT troops have better things to do than to entertain or bully citizens in the United States of America. Imagine doing this with the SAS here in Britain. Good point. That's not going to happen, sadly. Let's go on to yours.
And on Xinjiang, a student of history says, picking quarrels or upsetting harmony sounds like breach of the peace, disorderly conduct, and hate crimes. There is an analogy there, but I think it's dangerous to draw that too far, because the Chinese do take it way further. General Haiping, still love that name, since our rather special needs government have already cherry-picked the increasingly authoritarian parts of China that they'd like to work into their own policies, I can only imagine Boris sat round a table of like-minded MPs asking the question, detention camps, how can we work these into our next batch of dumbfounding policies?
I think if it reaches anywhere first, it'll be Canada, because Trudeau has openly said, you know, they get stuff done, guys.
Well, didn't they schedule a joint military exercise with the People's
Liberation
Army?
Yes, they did as well, actually, yeah. So Trudeau's in direct contact with them. Oh, that's
really
worrying.
Making me want to just lift the visors on those storm dressers. You just see like it's the Chinese army. No, I'm joking. Let's not get too conspiratorial, but that would be hilarious. Baron von Warhawk says, the worst part about these leaks, despite everything the Chinese Communist Party is doing, they can sleep soundly knowing nothing will happen to them because they have bought the West with their two stacks.
Mm. Yeah, sadly.
Nerevar says, this is the dark side of the Chinese regime that you won't hear about from the mainstream media. Having said that, they did, like BBC and so on, they did go to the effort of putting together a good package on it. They're always marvelling at how quickly they were able to build their road network or the city of Shanghai, but never how fast they were able to build their conglomerate of Uyghur and political prisoner internment camps. Absolutely.
Mm. All I was going to say is that the mainstream can be a bit schizophrenic on China, because you get good reports like what we've got from the BBC there, and then at the same time you get in places like America, them saying like, oh, you know, China's not free like we imagine free, but at the same time they've not got lockdowns anymore in the middle of COVID, so they can be
check out Shanghai lately. Still locked in their apartment blocks. Chet Chisholm says, it's worth bringing up again that Justin Trudeau idolizes the Chinese regime, on the same page
there
as
we
you
go.
There,
yeah, right,
and
there
is trying to implement these horrid things in my country.
Well, I mean, his dad is not Che Guevara, it was Fidel.
Your dad's Che Guevara?
No.
Damn. Harry, what happened?
That's why I hate gay people so much. Only joking, I don't hate gay people.
Callum Dayton says, wars have been started for less. Well, now in China, you can go to prison for anything. Ignacio Junquera says, in my personal experience with my mother-in-law, who is Chinese-born and works as a translator, whenever her daughter or me mentioned that every university degree she translates includes Mao studies and physical training every year, and that it's indoctrination, she just answers it's to learn history and for physical well-being. Makes me sad how deep the indoctrination gets.
Sadly, yes.
Paul Neubauer says, gas chambers would likely interfere with organ harvesting.
Good point.
There was a study, at least, alleging that at least 25,000 people from these camps may have been used for organ harvesting. However,
that's awful.
And that's been cited in 71 out of a study of 125,000 Chinese research papers. But I wasn't able to verify the authenticity of that.
I wouldn't be shocked.
Well, it's been circulating for a while regarding Falun Gong, a lot longer, in fact, than Xinjiang. And the Uyghurs.
I think a lot of this stuff is probably just it's a rumor until a massive document dump like this comes out, and then all of a sudden it's just confirmed and it's out in the open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, is it an organic concentration camp? We'll find out. Carbohydrate Crusader says, working for the NHS, it's shocking how much of our PPE and COVID testing stuff comes from China, Xinjiang specifically. Whoever made those deals has blood on their hands, and they used our money for it. It makes me sick. Yeah, so much is made in China that you just import masks and that. Chances are like 99 out of 100, your mask will be made in China.
Mm.
That sort of thing.
For the purposes of cost cutting, we've become entirely dependent on them for certain products.
Yes. Now, Thomas would say that's a result of market forces.
I would say that's a result of state interference.
Oh, yeah. Well, how does that come about?
Well, because the state's the one making all of these big agreements.
That's true, but private companies would also be likely to...
I'm not going to sit here and say that big business and big business interests are entirely blameless from this. In fact, I would probably say that, yes, it was big business probably pushing...
I would say they're the driving force behind the outsourcing of many, many things to China, because it basically... It removes a lot of problems for them. It means they don't have the carbon emissions cited in the countries where they sell to. It's far, far cheaper to use Chinese slave labor.
You don't have to take personal responsibility if the products aren't very good or they just don't work at all.
Exactly. Now, I know you're probably going to come back and say, but the fact we have these corporations emerging in the first place is because of state interference. Is that a fair?
That would be part of it. I'm going to start working on an article talking about why libertarians should not trust big business, because sadly there is a side of the, I would say, more Chicago school side that still thinks that we live in the 1950s and still thinks that it's good. Well, still thinks that we live in the 1850s, to be perfectly honest, and think that it's government versus big business, whereas it's actually government and big business absolutely love one another.
Yeah, but this is really a problem of materialism. And if more of our material relations were tied into social relations, community relations, and so on, it's much less likely that, for example, you would put your local village shop out of business because you wanted to get eggs slightly cheaper from Xinjiang.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I think if you are someone who cares about the free market, I think you probably do have a bit more of a duty to try and support local businesses.
Absolutely. And on that, let's move on to the comments on Dem's rhetoric.
Yes, Free Will says you're not going to get any fairness from the hard left. They don't believe our views have any validity, so why should we give them a fair hearing?
A hair fearing.
Yeah. We should give them a hairing. That's what we should do. That's a good point. Lord Nerevar says the leftist opinions on guns make so much more sense now. Think of it this way. If they can pin gun violence not on people but guns themselves, that excuses gun violence in the name of leftism as a gun problem, not a leftist problem. Don't let them do it. This is a problem of people. In this case, a problem specifically of leftist fear-mongering. Keep your rifle by your side with a little salute. S.H. Silver says, I think it's...
Oh, that's what that emoji means. I never knew that.
Did you not?
No,
did
I'm
you
sorry.
Actually not?
No, I actually didn't.
I think it's the most telling that this is due to the media hysteria, because if you actually knew the ideological leanings of the court, you'd know that Kavanaugh is one of the more centrist judges, having voted in favor of maintaining Roe as one of his first SCOTUS rulings. The only reason he's controversial is because the media hyped up his nomination just because it was Trump who put him forward, so they had to be against him. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And just last one, Free Will says, is Chuck Schumer inciting violence? Probably, but he won't get told off for it. No. He won't get arrested for it. And with that, that's all we've got time for. Thank you very, very much for tuning into this podcast, Lotus Eaters. We'll see you again tomorrow at 1 p.m. Have a great day, guys. Goodbye.